Michael? Michael, it's me, David. Can you hear me?
David. I'm dying, aren't I? I know I am. I heard the doctor tell my father there's nothing he can do. I'm dying.
No. No, you'll be well. Believe me, you'll be well soon.
Oh, I feel so weak. Oh, I've been sick so long. So long, I feel so dizzy. Everything's going black again.
I'll get your father.
Goodbye, David. Goodbye.
Hello, everyone.
Hi there. We're glad you've joined us again. Uncle Dan has another thrilling story from Holy Scripture all ready to tell. Right, Uncle Dan?
Yes, Aunt Sue. It's another story about the life of Jesus of Nazareth. It can be found in John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54, and Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30.
Uncle Dan, your story sounds like it could be a terribly sad one. Michael seems like a very sick boy.
Oh, he is. Of course, we don't know his real name, but we know that Michael lived with his father in Capernaum, a town near the Sea of Galilee. And while we don't know the father's name either, Holy Scripture does tell us that he was a nobleman, or an important official in that time, commanding men under him.
Our story takes place hundreds of years before the development of modern medicine. And it was not unusual for many boys and girls Michael's age to become very ill. The doctors didn't know what to do, and usually they died.
That's right, Aunt Sue. And so it was with Michael. No matter what the doctors did to cure him, Michael only became worse. His father feared that his son had only a few days left to live, if that long.
This could be a very sad story, Uncle Dan. But I'm sure that if Jesus is in it, it will turn out to be a happy one after all.
Right, Aunt Sue, and that's why I call the story
Happiness in Galilee.
The Galileans who returned from the Passover in Jerusalem brought back interesting news about the wonderful works of Jesus. The dishonest practices of the temple money changers and the greed and arrogance of the priests was an abhorrence to many of the people. They witnessed a special power exercised by Jesus in driving the rulers from the temple and hoped that he might be the long-looked-for deliverer. After ministering to the woman at Jacob's well and the people of Samaria, Jesus and his disciples pressed on to Galilee. But because the people of Nazareth did not believe in him, Jesus didn't visit his hometown at this time. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum.
I'm afraid, sir, that we have done everything possible to make the fever leave your boy's body. We can do nothing else.
You mean there's no hope, doctor?
I suppose there is always hope.
You mean if there's no miracle, my boy will die?
I'm afraid that's true, Your Excellency.
No, it can't be.
David, where did you come from?
Well, there is hope. There has to be hope.
David, Michael's been ill many weeks. The fever's never left him. He suffered so much. The doctors can do nothing. Perhaps it is God's will. We must leave it in the hands of God. Oh, Michael. My son, Michael.
But, sir, there is hope. Haven't you heard about Jesus? He's back in Galilee, in Cana, right now.
I had heard rumors.
They're more than rumors.
Your Excellency, this Jesus does seem to have a reputation as a healer, but one can't be sure of such things.
Have you seen God perform any miracles? Bring a boy like Michael back to health?
In the Holy Scriptures, there is a case or two like that, and I have heard of others.
And this Jesus, what about him? Is he a prophet? Is it possible?
I am only a doctor, not a rabbi, Your Excellency. I know very little about this Jesus of Nazareth.
I will go to him immediately. I'll test this healer. If he is from God, I will know when he comes and heals my son. If he doesn't heal my son,
Well...
Your boy may not last that long.
Well, I can't just wait here and do nothing. This Jesus may be our only hope. I must go see him personally. Maybe a father's plea will arouse his sympathy. David, will you stay at Michael's side? I know you two are close friends. If you need help, the doctor here or the servants will be at hand.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Don't worry. I won't leave Michael. Not for a moment.
Good. I'll take one of my men. We'll ride to Cana immediately.
God be with you.
There's Cana, sir. Miserable little country town, if ever I saw one.
That doesn't matter. We must find this Jesus person quickly.
Let's ask this traveler coming towards us. Pardon me, good man. Where can we find Jesus of Nazareth?
Jesus? Yes. Just follow the crowds when you get into town. It seems like everyone is going to him.
Well, thank you. Everyone. I hope he has time to come to Capernaum. He must come to Capernaum.
That must be him, sir.
What?
With the children and the crowds all around him.
Ah.
Did you ever see so many sick and crippled people in one place?
But he can't be a prophet. Plainly dressed as he is, he... he looks like any ordinary Galilean. Why, he looks as dusty and tired as we are.
He certainly doesn't stand out, does he? Yet, remember the prophet Amos. He was just a shepherd.
Well, that's true.
Here comes someone. I'll ask him. A good man. Is that Jesus, the healer?
Oh, praise mighty God. Yes, sir, it is. And he healed me. I was deaf, but he gave me hearing and speech with just a command. The power of God has come down to us. This Jesus is the Messiah we've waited for.
The Messiah? I'll believe he's the Messiah if he comes to Capernaum and heals my son. Let's hurry.
Make way. Make way for His Excellency.
Are you Jesus of Nazareth?
I am.
Please, sir, I beg you to come to Capernaum with me. My son's at the point of death. Come with me and heal my son. We have no time to waste.
Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe.
Like a flash of light, the Savior's words laid bare the officer's heart. He saw that his motives in seeking Jesus were selfish. His vacillating faith now appeared to him in its true character. In deep distress, he realized his doubt might cost the life of his son. He knew he was in the presence of one who could read his thoughts. In agony, he cried out,
"Please, sir, come now before my child dies."
"You may start back home now. Your son is healed."
But Capernaum is at least 20 miles away.
"My son is healed." If this Jesus is of God, distance means nothing. Yes, I believe my son is healed. I believe it. And this man, this Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah. Glory be to God.
Back home, the physician, the dying boy's mother, and his friend David keep watch at his bedside.
He is so pale, so fevered. His father better hurry home soon if he wants to see his boy alive one more time.
It will be at least 3 or 4 hours.
We must believe that Jesus will come.
We can pray.
Look. Look at Michael.
The color. The color is coming back into his face. And feel his brow. The fever is leaving him.
Let me see. Yes, he's beginning to rest. A very good sign. Let me listen to his breathing. Yes, he's breathing normally, not struggling anymore. And yes, you're right, the fever has left him. So suddenly, it must be a miracle.
Michael will live. Praise God.
I cannot explain it, but yet I believe it's a miracle. But let us wait a little longer to be sure. Then we'll send messengers to his father.
Cana was not far from Capernaum, and the officer might have reached home yet that same evening, but he didn't hurry home. He was confident his son was healed, so he started home the next day. I'm sure the world about him seemed much happier now, and the happy song of the birds, which but hours before had seemed such a mockery, now reflect the gladness in his heart. Before reaching home, he sees several of his servants running toward him.
Whoa, whoa, steady there.
Master, master, we have good news for you.
My son is well, is he not?
Why, yes, he is well. It's a miracle, I tell you. Suddenly the fever left him, and from then on your boy slept soundly.
At what time was this?
At 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Yes, that's the very hour the master spoke the words, "Go back home, your son is healed." Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the prophet of God.
At one time or another, most of us feel the urge to return to the town of our childhood. So it was with Jesus. And one day he did return to Nazareth, where he had been a carpenter for many years, where he knew just about everyone by name, and where lived his mother and relatives. He had been absent from them since the beginning of his ministry, but they had heard stories of his wonderful miracles, and as he again appeared among them, their expectations were excited to the highest pitch. All eyes followed him as he entered the synagogue, or church, on the Sabbath day and took his place among the worshipers.
Look! It's Jesus. He's come back.
Mary's son has come home.
Have you heard about the miracles he's done in Cana and Capernaum?
Do you think he'll do miracles here?
The elder is handing Jesus the scroll.
Our own Jesus is with us today. We'll ask him to read the scripture taken from the book of Isaiah.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to announce that captives shall be released, and the blind shall see, that the downtrodden shall be freed from their oppressors, and that God is ready to give blessings to all who come to him.
And he closed the roll and gave it back to the attendant. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on him.
This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.
What does he mean, this day the scripture fulfilled? It came true today?
He speaks like a prophet, yet he's just the son of a carpenter.
Yes, isn't that Joseph's son?
I've heard that the leaders in Jerusalem don't accept him.
But what about all those miracles he's done?
Do you think he'll do some miracles here in Nazareth?
He should. This is his hometown.
Probably you will quote me that saying, "Physician, heal yourself." Meaning, why don't you do miracles here in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum? But I solemnly declare to you that no prophet is accepted in his own town.
Is he reproaching us? It sounds like he thinks he's too good for us.
We are children of Abraham, and he talks about preaching the gospel to us.
Remember how Elijah the prophet used a miracle to help the widow of Zarephath, a foreigner from the land of Sidon. There were many Jewish widows needing help in those days of famine, for there had been no rain in those days for 3.5 years, and hunger stalked the land. Yet, Elijah was not sent to them.
That's all I can take!
He can't be God's prophet and speak of us that way!
We are Jews! We are the children of Abraham!
Away with this Jesus! He makes believe he is God's prophet, but he speaks against God's people! Away with this man! Away with him!
The worshippers turned into an angry mob. All seemed eager for Jesus' destruction. They seized him and took him to the edge of a hill with steep, precipitous cliffs. There they intended to throw him down head first and then stone him.
Away with this man! Throw him over the cliff!
Stone him! Don't let him live another minute longer!
But Jesus was not afraid. Holy Scripture says, "But passing through the midst of them, he went his way."
Why don't you stop him?
Well, why don't you?
Where is he?
He's gone.
You mean you let him go? We had him inches from the cliff.
Oh, he's more than a mere man. No one could stop him.
After being rejected at Nazareth, Jesus went to the town of Capernaum by the shores of the Sea of Galilee. There, fishermen sailed the lake. Boys and girls played by the waters. and more people listened to the new teacher from Nazareth. No doubt the nobleman and his son had done much to spread the good news about the divine healer. And thus it was Jesus found a warm welcome in Capernaum.
At last the time has come. God's kingdom is near. Turn from your sins and act on this glorious news.
From this time on, Capernaum became Jesus' home in Galilee. Capernaum was an important town at the north end of the Sea of Galilee on the border of the province of Galilee. The international highway ran through there. It was the hometown of two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, fishermen by trade.
Peter, it's no use, not one fish. We've fished these waters for years, and I've never seen it so bad.
It's just one more thing to go wrong. Seems like everything's gone wrong lately.
You're thinking about Jesus.
And John the Baptist.
Yes, it's hard to understand.
And more than that, it's very discouraging, depressing. I mean, John's in prison, and Jesus' own townspeople try to kill him. Our leaders oppose him. I don't know, Andrew. At first I thought maybe Jesus was the Messiah, but now, I'm not so sure.
He doesn't seem very strong as a leader. As soon as John's disciples made a little trouble for him, he just packed up and left, moved his ministry to Galilee. You would expect the Messiah to show a little more determination than that.
If Jesus would only try to work with our leaders instead of constantly fighting them.
He set a dangerous course for himself, all right.
If he isn't careful, he'll be the next one put in prison.
You know, I really don't understand him. We have seen him perform miracles. How could he do that if he wasn't what he claimed to be?
I don't know. But we could sure use a miracle right now. No fish, the morning almost here. We might as well head for shore.
On the shore, a lonely figure, wrapped in meditation, watches as the weary, discouraged fishermen end their night of fruitless labor. Hoping for a little season of rest from the multitudes that followed him day by day, Jesus had come to spend a quiet hour by the waterside. But now, as the sun climbed higher, people began to gather, and soon Jesus was pressed on all sides. In order to better be seen and heard, Jesus stepped into Peter's boat and asked him to pull out a little from the shore.
Certainly, sir. Good idea. Quick! James, John, lend me a hand. Let's get this boat away from this mob. Oh, there, sir. That ought to do it. No one will try to wade out here.
From this vantage point, Jesus taught the multitudes on the beach. What a scene this was. He who was the honored of heaven was declaring the great things of his kingdom in the open air to the common people while swaying to and fro in a fisherman's boat. To such a scene as this, the prophet Isaiah had looked forward when he wrote,
"The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, toward the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, to them did light spring up."
After Jesus finished talking to the people, he turned to Peter with a simple request.
"Simon, go out where it is deeper and let down your nets, and you will catch a lot of fish."
"But, Master, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. If you say, we'll try again."
"What are you doing, Peter? Going for a little sightseeing? Doesn't Jesus know you can't catch fish in these clear waters in the daytime?"
"He's a carpenter, not a fisherman. But come on, we might as well try it. We've nothing to lose."
The fishermen went out a ways in the lake and threw in their nets. Almost instantly, the nets filled with fish to the point of breaking. Excitedly, Peter and Andrew called to their partners for help.
"James! John, quick! Come here! Help us! The nets are full already, more than full! Get the other boat!"
"We have so many fish, one boat can't hold them all! Quick! Help us!"
"I can't believe it!
We fished here all night, and now all these fish. I didn't know the whole lake had this many fish. I can't pull the net up. What good will it do if the net breaks and all the fish get away?
With the help of the other boat, the fish were hauled in, enough to more than fill both boats. Suddenly, Simon Peter realized that Jesus was more than a man. Peter fell to his knees before Jesus.
Lord, please go away from me. I am too much of a sinner.
This man must be a prophet. Only a prophet could bring about this miracle.
Yes, I'm ready to follow him anywhere he goes.
Do not be afraid, friends. From now on, you will be catching men.
As soon as the boat landed, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John left their wonderful catch of fish, left their boats, left everything behind them, and followed Jesus. They had become his disciples. Before asking them to leave their nets, Jesus had given them assurance that God would supply their needs. Jesus chose unlearned fishermen because they were not schooled in the erroneous customs of their time. They were humble and teachable men whom he could educate for his work. Holy Scripture says, "And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching there on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority."
There is a saying, "Love your friends and hate your enemies." But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you.
Look,
in that
James,
way you will be asking.
A strange man is getting up,
your father,
rushing to the front. We better stop him. He's going to attack Jesus.
No, he's stopping.
Rain on the
Go away! We want nothing to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth.
What does he mean? We want nothing to do with you.
Maybe he's demon-possessed. But look how calm Jesus is. I'd be shaking in my shoes.
You have come to destroy us. Go away. I know who you are. You are the Holy Son of God.
Be silent. Come out of the man, demon.
The demon's thrown him on the floor. He'll be hurt.
No, look. He's getting up. He's not hurt. The demon has left him. What a change in his face.
The master has ordered the demon to leave, and the demon had to obey. What is in the words of Jesus that even demons obey him?
While the congregation in the synagogue were still spellbound with awe, Jesus withdrew to the house of Peter for a little rest. But here also a shadow had fallen.
What's the matter here?
It's your mother-in-law. She's been very ill today. She has a high fever. We are worried about her.
I'm sorry, Master. I thought my mother-in-law would have a meal ready for us.
She's very ill, Master. Please heal her. She's a good woman.
Master, we know you are the great healer come from God.
Take me to her bedside.
Certainly. Quickly, this way. We've been keeping her as cool as possible, but the fever is very high. Here she is.
We have brought Jesus.
He'll make you better.
Jesus. Ah, yes. I know you can make me well.
Woman, I rebuke the fever within your body. Fever, I command that you leave immediately.
Look, the color has come back to her cheeks.
The fever is left. I can feel that on your forehead. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Peter's mother was healed immediately. Then she got up from her bed and went about preparing a meal for Jesus and his friends. As the sun went down that Sabbath evening, all the villagers in Capernaum brought their sick relatives to Jesus for healing. By the next morning, there was hardly a man, woman, or child in Capernaum who was ill in any way. Jesus had healed them all. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he needed time to pray. Early the next morning, Jesus went into the desert near Capernaum for prayer and communion with his heavenly Father. But the crowds would not give him much time by himself. They searched everywhere for him and found him.
Please, Master, do not leave us. Stay for a while in Capernaum. We need your words. We need your healing power.
I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other places too, for that is why I was sent.
Jesus continued his travels throughout Galilee. He spoke words of life to those who would listen. He healed everywhere he went. Soon people were coming from all over Galilee to him, and from Syria, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem. Jesus brought much happiness to thousands of people in Galilee. Yet his wonderful work was just beginning.